Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
On last Friday's Last Word on Sport, we dared to dream when we had Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie with us and former Irish international centre forward and Last Word regular Tony Cascarino. But we didn't dare to dream of just how it all turned out in Budapest. That extraordinary last gasp winner over Hungary, 3-2 result, the Troy Parrott hat-trick. Where to start? Tony Cascarino, as a former player, how excited did you get watching that yesterday?
As good as it can be, Matt. It was, I sat quietly with my bottom lip on the floor, 2-1 down, kept thinking, I was listening to Ray Outon doing RTE commentary and thinking, look, he's wanting us to go long. He's just telling us, get that ball in that box and see what happens and cause problems. And when we got to 2-2, Matt, I know there was a very little time left, but it gave everybody hope. And fair play to, we spoke about Troy Parrott last week and his attitude. And, Matt, this is what I was talking about at the start of the season when, and I was like many other Irish fans who were optimistic about this campaign, feeling that this was a group of lads that wouldn't give up, wouldn't throw in the towel. And adrenaline, it got them way over that line, Matt, and fair play, because also the, you know, Al Grinsome as a coach has realised he put on, you know, obviously getting players to who are going to get into areas to cause problems. And Parrott wouldn't have got that goal, Matt, if he'd have been up front on his own. And it tells me that Troy Parrott does need a partner, because when Scales heads it down, it was like watching Robbie Keane getting a little flick into the bottom corner, and it was like watching John Aldridge do the same thing from Noel Quinn head downs and my head downs and others along the way, Matt. And it was an absolute joy, because I felt for just the whole desire of the team was exceptional from start to finish. And it was a bad start, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get through all of those things. We've plenty of time to talk about all of this. And I mean, the ball from Kevin Kelleher was a bit like Steve Finnan putting the ball in for Niall Quinn back in 2002 as well, to flick down for Robbie Keane. So fair play to Kelleher as well for the measured way he found Liam Scales in the penalty area as well. It was an incredible pass in. But from what you're saying there, would that suggest, looking forward to the playoffs in March, that we should be looking at the possibility of having Troy Parrott playing off Evan Ferguson if he's fit?
Well, first of all, Evan's got to prove he can lead the line as a big centre forward, because he's got all the attributes to do that, Matt. And I don't think we should ignore that tactic, because we are clearly a team that has to play direct. You know, what we saw against Hungary when we were 2-0 down and we went with Ida and Ferguson down the middle and we got the ball in, we caused problems from set pieces, from balls out wide, and that has got to be, we've got to stay with that, Matt. We've talked about midfielders, and I don't think we've got the technical players in midfield to be able to dictate the pace of a game. But what we do have is players who are prepared to get themselves hurt and get in positions to score goals. And I think that's a big thing. I hope, look, Evan Ferguson, Matt, as we know, is still a very young man. And what we've seen the growth of Troy Parrott in the last 3 years, and, you know, including his club former AZ Alkmaar, that there is something there that we've got to grasp. But we've also the five at the back, Matt. That's worked brilliantly for us, hasn't it? Where it just seems to suit the players in them positions. So there's a lot of good things that have happened in the Portugal game and in the Hungary game away.
Okay, well, we might come back and maybe be a little bit critical of the second goal that was given away, because the three centre-backs didn't work in stopping that particular goal, but let's focus on the positives for the moment. Although Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie, listening to the way Tony is talking there, based on what we also saw against Portugal and the style of play, it does suggest, doesn't it, that and I'm maybe he won't like me for his mentioning us or his fans won't, but Stephen Kenny had us trying to play a completely wrong style of football for the players that we have available, that we've had to go back to the past, to route one, and just put them under pressure and get the ball up there to have a degree of success.
That's probably true, to be honest, man. I mean, that's how it has worked out. I think Stephen Kenny, you know, came in with grand ideas and wanted to play a back four as well. I mean, he barely ever even played a back three in his managerial career, but found that the tools at his disposal didn't necessarily suit how he initially wanted to play. Now, he did adjust and play a little bit more pragmatically than I think a lot of people give him credit for. We saw them go to three at the back, but he just never had the midfield players, the quality in midfield to be able to play in the means in which he really idealised. But in fairness to Stephen Kenny, he also, you know, he really inherited the Irish squad at a time of transition when an elder generation of players had aged or were aging out, and he had to blood a lot of new players. And unfortunately, Kenny had to preside over the more difficult part of that, the teething period when these players were bedding down. Now, many of the players to whom he gave debuts were vital in getting Ireland through to these World Cup playoffs. So I think he also played a very important role in what we saw. But certainly how Hal Grimson has changed the style of play, not only even from Stephen Kenny's time, from Hal Grimson's own time. Like, go back to September and the disaster in Armenia. Ireland were playing a back four that night, but he changed the system. He's brought in different players, and crucially, Matt, he's brought in Seamus Coleman and John Egan as well, who hasn't got many minutes on the pitch, but both of those experienced players were hailed after the match by the captain, Nathan Collins. You know, Collins is the man of the armband, but he was big enough to say afterwards that Coleman and Egan have come in, they've brought energy, they've brought experience, they've brought leadership, and they've effected a total overhaul of this squad in the middle of the campaign, and that, allied to Troy Parrott's blossoming into an elite centre-forward, is why Ireland have had this dream week.
Although, it would be fair to say, Gavin, just to be utterly ruthless about it, that if we didn't have Creevy and Kelleher in goal, we wouldn't have been in a position to win that game. We are really dependent on a world-class goalkeeper, not just yesterday, but at many times in many games.
Always good to have one. And in fairness, like, it's logical and it's obvious that he would be starting for Ireland now. But Hal Grimson did pick him when he was still sitting at the bench at Liverpool. And look, Ireland... like Marco Rossi, the Hungary coach, said after the game, it was a funereal march to the dais for the press conference. It was an extraordinary, really, thing to see. I didn't understand any of the Italian he was speaking, but could understand what he was saying from the tone of his voice. And reading the quotes back afterwards, he said that their ambition was to kill the game and go for 3-1. They weren't clinical enough. They did have chances before Ireland equalised, for sure. Kelleher made a couple of great saves, one from Szoboszlai, one from Roland Szalai. Other players stepped up as well. Liam Scales, having had a tricky start to the match, made a brilliant one-on-one block from Barnabas Varga as well, when it was still 2-1. So all these moments are kind of lost to time, and we don't have to worry about them now that obviously Parrott delivered his heroics. But, you know, it was, in that sense, a real team effort to be able to platform Parrott for those kind of incredible moments in the final minutes.
Okay, and again, I don't want to be negative on this, Tony, but, you know, if we are looking, we still have two matches to win to get to the World Cup finals. And we're going to have to be better in those two games because we're going to be playing good quality opposition. The second goal we gave away, the old problems about concentration at the back, it was quite extraordinary how a goal was given away allowing a centre forward to take the ball down in his chest at the edge of the area and turn and volley. First of all, that the centre halves backed off, and then secondly, that they didn't actually lunge forward to block the shot.
Yeah, you've got to put your body on the line there, Matt. And when, you know, when Varga gets control of his chest, you've got to be on top of him, because I know that, you know, all the centre-halves that we had with Ireland at that particular time when I was playing, you got to smother them and get to them quickly, because Varga is a player with good technique. And look, his strike was brilliant. He's hit it and pinged it in the top corner, but he shouldn't be allowed to get that shot away. And hopefully there'll be a lot of lessons learnt, Matt, from this opening campaign, where the six games we played, you know, Armenia sat badly with everybody and won't understand that, how we got in a position against them to actually lose the game. And that performance But I do think they're a great bunch of lads. I just look at them and think, you know, fair play to them. They've all kept going. They've all pushing hard. And I just thought there was something in this group that can help. You know, it's not the most gifted, but there's something about it that I really like. And that's the attitude, what I see from the players.
Okay. So how do they build on this, do you reckon, Tony?
Well, it's going to be built on, Matt, because what an exciting period when you get to March. You've now got 4 months to sit on that game. Think of what you've done. Wait for the draw, see who you get, and then take it from there. But they'll have the big spring in their step, and I'm sure the manager will think long and hard about the planning going into these games and, you know, looking at players, how they're doing. He's got some things to think about. You know, is he going to be tempted with playing Ferguson and Parrott up front? Again, thinking who he's playing against. But Parrott's now become Toto Parrott, you know, like Toto Scarlatti. He's coming from nowhere. And literally, Matt, he's done brilliant. And he looks a goal scorer. His winning goal is everything about what good predator strikers do, is get across bodies to get a little toe and air it has been the back of the net. And I think there's a lot to be said because he's 6'1", Parrott. He's not the quickest. He's not the most gifted technically. But by the way, his second goal was a wonderful finish, Matt, as well. Let's not forget that. But he's got something about him where I look at him and think, give him a partner. Make sure he gets a partner and get the balls in from certain areas. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I feel that we've got. And I'm glad you mentioned Kelleher. It's been brilliant. It's been brilliant for Ireland. You know, Shay Given done a great job over the years. And I'm just looking at Kelleher and I think, you know, that goalkeeper that was second best at Liverpool, I said he never let Liverpool down when he played. He had one game at Newcastle when he came for a catch and didn't quite get it and they scored. Apart from that, he was brilliant at this time with Liverpool when he got the chance when Alisson was injured last year, Matt.
Yeah, everyone's going to make a mistake every now and again.
So yeah, exactly.
Particularly
yeah.
The goalkeeper gets exposed for it. But just on that goal from Parrott, the winning goal, back to you, Gavin, because I thought what the most extraordinary thing was, in the 96th minute, when most players are exhausted, and yes, they're running on adrenaline, to have made that run that he made, to get into the penalty area and then to follow the flight of the ball, to be in the position to take the knockdown, Robbie Keane-like, but that showed incredible desire, didn't it?
Incredible desire. I mean, we're aware now of Parrott's talents, his eye for a goal, his finishing talents, but his work ethic is sensational. And it's one of the reasons why he's become so important, even at club level. He never stops pressing and he never stops running. And it was pointed out by my colleague Joe Callaghan online after the match. If you look at it back, Parrott, just before, when Hungary have the ball, he runs out, because he's starting off the right wing is where he kind of was at that point, runs across to the left wing to force Hungary to knock the ball long, and it ends up at Kelleher's feet, which allows Kelleher to go long into the penalty area. And it then means that Parrott can ghost into the box. He can run on and he can time his run perfectly onto Liam Scales' knockdown. Because if he's standing there, he's probably marked and Hungary can clear the ball. But he arrives at just the right time. And the reason he arrives at just the right time is because he's willing to work so hard. His work ethic really is outstanding. And it stood to Ireland in more ways than one, you could describe it, in the scoring of that goal. It was an amazing moment. How he gets the touch to it. And there's an amazing still image of it where he's stretching every sinew. He's on his tippy toes with his standing foot. And he just manages to get the top of a stud, it looked like, to the ball, just to poke it down so the goalkeeper can't get it. To me, it felt like it took about 15 minutes to get actually into the net and make sure it went in the right side of the post rather than into the side netting. It was a remarkable moment, founded obviously on Parrott's skill, but also on his attitude and on his industry.
A listener wants to know, should Heimer Hallgrimsson make a play to get Liam Delap now? He's going nowhere with England. This is the Chelsea centre-forward, son of a former Irish international, Rory Delap. Gavin, is he still eligible? And also, what about other players like Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall from Everton?
Delap is still eligible, but he's showed no interest in declaring for Ireland, is my understanding. And Dewsbury-Hall is eligible, but gave an interview only a couple of weeks ago to say that he wants to play for England rather than Ireland. He is eligible, and Hal Grimson has met with him, as far as I know, and Stephen Kenny definitely met with him back in the day. Up to now, Ireland hasn't been a pretty compelling sell to these players who, you know, who could play for England or could play for other countries, but are also eligible for Ireland. But one of the benefits of this, if you want to see it as a benefit, of progressing to the World Cup playoffs, creating this kind of buzz and sense of momentum, is all of a sudden Ireland become more of an appealing destination to potential declarees, because it is a market in which Hal Grimson is happy to work in. You saw the call-up of the American-born Kevin O'Toole for this camp. He didn't play. We may never see him play for Ireland, but he will, if he does retire with that sense, he will retire with a 100% record as a squad member for two amazing moments. So for those two specific players, I'd be surprised if you ever see them play for Ireland, but certainly the better Ireland do, the more appealing they are for anyone else who is considering a change of allegiance, for sure.
Tony, would it be fair on the players who've got us to this stage now to suddenly introduce players if they were to change their mind and say, yeah, we'll play for you?
Yeah, well, I think it's easy one, Matt, this one. Is if they want to play for Ireland, come along. You know, that's how I see it. There was a number of group, and including me, Andy Townsend, Ray Houghton, John Aldridge, and others, Mick McCarthy, who wanted to play for Ireland. It wasn't a case of just being asked. It was like, yep, all of us jumped at the opportunity. So the lads would be fine with it, Matt, if a lad turns around and says, I want to play for Ireland. I want to go along and be part of something special, whether it's getting to a World Cup. You know, I think that's the answer. I don't want to select players who say they don't want to play for Ireland, or they, I don't. I'd just rather say, that's fair enough. If you don't want to play, that's it. End of story. If they say, yep, I'm open to it and I want to do it, absolutely, the door's open.
So they're allowed to change their mind like Declan Rice and Jack Grealish did and went the other way.
Yeah, the players do it, Matt, for certain reasons, and it's normally financial that players would consider because of England and, you know, the benefits of being an England player, and it just commercially, it just makes a lot more sense for them. A lot of players make a lot of money in the modern game. I think it's got to be your heart. You've got to want to play for Ireland, and that's the be and all end all for me, and that's how a lot of us felt, and that's why we had such a great mentality within the group, because all the boys born and bred in Ireland welcomed us with open arms, and we joined together in arms, and we literally stuck together as everyone saw. And I think that group needs players that want to come. I don't think there'd be, you know, keen or no, we're doing you a favour to turn up for Ireland. No thanks.
OK, I was just thinking, Tony, if you were to say that Evan Ferguson comes back in as a partner to Troy Parrott up front, what sort of formation do you have then? Do you still have Ogbene with his pace up there, sort of like a front three with two midfielders in behind? Because who then become the two midfielders? Are they Cullen and Malumbi? Is it Cullen and Taylor? Is it even Cullen and Azaz, given that he can play a pass? But then does he have enough physicality for a two-man midfield, even if you have the two wing-backs pushing up?
Yeah, well, I think you've got to have the ball winners in there, Maka, or people that are more capable of keeping him. So someone's going to be apt to sacrifice, and Azaz will probably be that one. Look, it's who you're playing against and what their tactics are as well. But I just feel that Ireland have to think about how they're going to hurt teams, and how we've hurt teams so far in this group has been by getting balls into danger areas and getting bodies on the end of them and having set pieces that we're good at. You know, getting Kieran Keller to knock the ball long in certain areas, and then we join the forwards that can win the ball, hold it up, and I think that's really important. And it can be, Matt, it can be a style that's also exciting as well. You know, OK, you'll have the grab games in that way at times because it's direct, but we just don't have midfielders. If we had Ronnie Whelan, Matt, and we had Paul McGrath, we had Roy Keane, Andy Townsend, Liam Brady, all these types of players from the past, I'd be very open to wanting to get the ball down in the middle of midfield. We just don't have them.
OK, Gavin, just go through the situation now. How important is it to be in the second group of seeds for the draw on Thursday to get a home semi-final? We know we can win away because we did it yesterday, but realistically, how much better off will we be at home?
Hugely better off at home in the semi-final for the obvious benefit of home advantage. Ireland are finally beginning to build the Aviva into a fortress, unbeaten at home in the group this campaign. And second of all, if we're at home, we'll be in pot two, meaning we'll get a semi-final at home to a pot three team. it will be an easier opponent. So there are a couple of permutations that need to go Ireland's way. We need North Macedonia to avoid defeat against Wales tomorrow, and Austria to avoid defeat at home to Bosnia tomorrow. If those two results happen, Ireland will almost certainly be in pot two, and they'll be facing either Albania, Bosnia, Kosovo, or North Macedonia in the draw. If neither of those results come through, and Ireland are in pot three, they will be going away for their semi-final, likely against one of Wales, Slovakia, Scotland, or the Czech Republic. And then, you know, to make it clear to your listeners, it's not the case of you face one team over two legs. You have to beat two separate teams over two separate games in 4 days, as Ireland did this week. So they would have to win that, even if they need to do so on penalties, and then progress to a final where they could run into one of the big boys, who at the moment includes Italy, Turkey, Ukraine, and Poland.
Sure. If Italy are getting walloped at home by Norway, maybe they're not the team. Well, they haven't been to the last two World Cups. Maybe we can contribute to three in a row that they don't go to. Anyway, that's something to look forward to, Thursday's draw. Thank you very much, Gavin Cooney from the42.ie and Tony Cascarino.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.